You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
I'm joined today by Shane Lucas. Shane is the CEO of the Victorian Responsible Gambling Foundation. Thank you so much for your time today. I know your time must be so precious with the Gambling Harm Awareness Week coming up.
Yes, it's a bit of a busy time for us at the moment as we lead into to Monday's launch. So, look, but it's a really exciting time too. It's one of those moments, you know, every year where we get to talk and work with a lot of our sector and our stakeholders. And it's the second year in a row also, of course. You're in Sydney, I'm assuming, eh? Because it came through as a Sydney number.
No, I'm actually in Melbourne. Our studios, yeah, they're a bit funny, I think. I don't know, the wiring or something must be going all the way to Sydney.
Well, then if you're in Melbourne, you know that, yes, we're very much still in a lockdown environment and unable to do face-to-face events, which historically we've done a lot of in Gambling Harm Awareness Week, but this is the second year in a row where we've got to do things differently and get some benefits from that sometimes too in terms of getting some, you know, different people together.
So Gambling Harm Awareness Week is from the 18th to 24th of October this year, and the theme is Talk, Share, Support. Can you tell us a bit about the message behind this theme?
Look, absolutely. So we've now run Gambling Harm Awareness Week for a number of years. As I said, this is the second time now that we're doing it in the online space. The theme of Talk, Share, Support has really been about trying to encourage all Victorians to talk to each other about the effect gambling can have on a person's health and well-being and those of their family members, to share real-life stories that show how gambling harm and the risk of harm from gambling can literally happen to anyone, and to really seek support, encourage people who need to seek support for the gambling harm they experience to reach out to the service system or just to talk to a friend, a family member, a peer, in the same way as you talk about any other issue. If you were struggling with something in your mental health or your physical health, you would no doubt seek support. And we really want people to be able to become more aware that gambling harm is something you also should seek support for, even when you need to.
The Responsible Gambling Foundation supports people affected by gambling harm using a public health approach. What does this approach look like?
Look, there's certainly two significant aspects to our work. The public health approach is all about prevention, about trying to get out in front of a problem and, you know, stop a problem from occurring. So that's very much about communicating with communities, running campaigns about different sorts of issues. For example, our Love the Game campaign, which tries to talk about the normalisation of sport and betting, especially amongst young people. Running a range of programs with communities to try and talk about alternative forms of activity to gambling. One of the most celebrated is a thing called Libraries After Dark, which has really just been about working with councils to make their libraries open longer, so older people especially have got somewhere to go and socialise that's not a pokies venue. So that's very much where the public health approach, or one part of it, sits. The other part of our work, which is closely linked to that, is the service and support system. So we fund the Gamblers Help Service System, which is run by community health organisations all across Victoria. And that's really where people can also take that next step and go and seek therapeutic or financial counselling.
So you mentioned people socialising at the pokies. What effect has the pandemic and COVID-19 related lockdowns had on gambling habits?
I think that's that is kind of almost the question in our area at the moment, Bridie, because we've seen obviously in Victoria a total shutdown of pokies venues and the casino in March last year that ended up lasting until November. So almost 8 months in which people are unable to access venues. And then when those venues started to reopen, they reopened with a range of restrictions that were both principally relating to the public health environment. But at least at the very start, also partially in response to the concern that people might rush back into venues and we would see a lot of gambling harm. We've now got a second iteration of this process where venues have been closed again off and on, and now for a couple of months completely again in Victoria, or in Melbourne at least. I think it's fundamentally changing the way gambling activity will the experience for many people. I think people who still want to go and gamble as a recreation and as part of socialising in a venue, they will hopefully be able to go and do that safely and enjoy their gambling activity and not experience harm and see their friends and see their family. I think for people who've experienced real problems with gambling, the reopening of venues will be problematic as it was last time. We did see an increase in expenditure when they reopened in November last year. And I think there's increasing evidence. We're still at a pretty early days of trying to understand this, but I think there's increasing evidence of more people who used to go to a pokies venue or used to go to, you know, maybe a race meeting or whatever it was, now gambling online because that's what's been the only thing that's been available to them. And it's so much more difficult, you know, to sort of monitor activity and try and assist people in the online space. So I think there's a lot we still need to understand about what this is going to mean into the future. And I also have a real concern for people who might be socially isolated and going to the pokies venue, you know, put gambling to one side for a moment. That might have been their only outlet. And now they're at home and potentially by themselves. I really feel for those people and I want to, you know, try and find ways to support them to gamble safely and to socialise.
Where do you think the line might be between placing a casual bet, maybe every Melbourne Cup or Grand Final, and a gambling addiction?
Look, I think there's a pretty big jump from the bet every first week of November on the Melbourne Cup to an addiction to gambling. I think there's a lot of levels of risk between that, you know, clearly very, very, very recreational, non-harmful activity of betting, you know, once a month or some such, as long as you're spending, you know, within your means. There's a lot of steps of risk toward a gambling addiction. And I think that's one of the things we're really keen to try and make people more aware of, is that, you know, gambling harm is not just that, shall we say, pointy end of the problem. You know, it's not just that person at the pokies venue at 2 a.m. who's been there for, you know, far too long. It's not that person who's just lost, you know, $10,000 in an online bet. Those are extreme situations. There's a lot of behaviours in between where I would say the person is experiencing some form of gambling harm because they've lost too much money or they've been there too long or their behaviours are not great around alcohol or other things. And there's also a lot of steps even before that where people start to see gambling as being totally normal and not being associated with some level of risk. Whereas we would always argue that like many activities, you know, you can have a beer and it's not going to make you an alcoholic or it's not going to necessarily cause you terrible harm. But I think everyone accepts the fact that alcohol comes with risk and you need to watch it. And that's what we'd like to do with gambling.
So if you turn on the footy these days, there are plenty of ads for gambling apps and bookmaker odds are included in the live coverage of some sports. What effect is this having on viewers and in particular young viewers?
Well, I think for young people particularly, that growth in advertising of sports betting on television is really problematic. I mean, I'm sitting here as a father of three boys who are 17, 14 and almost 12, and none of my three children have ever known a world in which they could turn on the telly and not see sports betting advertising, especially around sporting or sporting programs. So we're really concerned about that normalisation. We've done quite a bit of research in this space. We know that around about 18 to 24-year-old men, for example, make up nearly one-third of all sports bettors in Victoria. We also know, thanks to a survey, that about 88% of Victorian sports fans fundamentally feel that there's just too much of it on television and that young children particularly are too exposed to it and that it just encourages that sense. And if you look at the ads, and I'm sure you've done this as well, you look at the ads, it's all about winning and it's all about fun. And that's just creating a false impression in young people's minds that gambling doesn't come with a risk. Because, yes, you have a big win and you're with your mates, that's fun, fantastic. What if you're by yourself and it's 2 a.m. and you're gambling on the NBA and you're losing? I don't think there's a lot of fun happening there and there's not a lot of socialisation happening there. And we also know that, ironically, despite all the advertising around football betting in Australia, both rugby and AFL, it is glamour sports like the NBA that are also a real focus of young people's online betting activity. Which I imagine is why companies do get people like, you know, Shaquille O'Neal to be the face of their campaigns.
Research shows that, you know, a near miss can be almost as exciting as a win. and it affects a person's ability to stop gambling. Is there any safe level of gambling?
Oh, look, I think there is always a safe level of gambling activity, absolutely. There is definitely a lot of neurological evidence that suggests the way your brain experiences the chemical change of both winning and losing has an impact. But that doesn't happen the first time, you know, your horse wins on Melbourne Cup Day. I think there's absolutely some safe levels of gambling. We've done some work in recent times with colleagues in Canada, which we're continuing to explore. You know, we think a certain percentage of your income on an annual basis, you should be able to identify a fairly small percentage, around about 2%, and say, well, that's probably within my means. And you should certainly try and only gamble probably no more than about 1 or 2 hours a week at the absolute maximum. And you should probably also try and limit the range of platforms on which you gamble. Because one of the other issues our research shows is that a lot of people who experience harm are gambling in more than one way. So they might be using a pokies venue. They're also perhaps going to the races. They're also perhaps going and betting online on sport. It's people who bet in multiple places that are often also at more risk of harm.
What support services are in place for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who may be affected by gambling addictions?
Look, obviously, First Nations people in Victoria have got the same access to the Gamblers' Help System that all Victorians have. So the number 1-800-858-858 is always there for someone wanting particular counsel and support. There's also the website, gamblershelp.vic.gov.au. If people go onto that website, they can actually go to a specific page that talks all about our support for First Nations communities. We run several programs with the Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisations across Victoria, both prevention programs and support programs. So organisations obviously like, you know, your Rumbalaras, your Victorian Aboriginal Health Service. We've had partnerships with half a dozen of those organisations for many years. In recent times, we've started a couple of really interesting, I think, new awareness programs, especially for youth. One program down on Warrawurrung Country with the organisation, Aboriginal-owned organisation, Strong Brother, Strong Sister, called the Digital Aid and Gambling Awareness Program. That's providing particular support to young people, but also trying to engage with elders and families and schools and sporting clubs. We've run for some years now a Love the Game program with community sports clubs and elite sports clubs at AFL level and elsewhere to try and engage young people. And we're just in the process at the moment of trying to develop a version of our Love the Game program that will be very particular to the First Nations community, because we really think that sport is such a good way of reaching young people. And we think sport is also a really good way of reaching young First Nations people. So, look, we're really proud of our engagement with First Nations communities. We're also really proud of the way that, in recent times especially, we've just run some fantastic co-design processes for these programs that we've funded. You know, we don't sort of walk in from Melbourne and say, here's the money and here's what you must do with it. We walk in and say, we want to fund you to provide a fantastic service to your community. How can we do that? Let's work together and let's try and design a program that's going to be really beneficial for the people in that community. It's something that I've talked about a lot with some of the partners that we work with in the First Nations community, is that I never want to lose sight of the fact that for so many people in the First Nations communities around Australia, gambling isn't necessarily a bad thing. You know, gambling is a way of getting together with your friends and your family and socialising and enjoying the experience at a recreational level. And it's certainly been said to me by a few of our Aboriginal partners is that, you know, you've got to have a level of subtlety about the way you talk about harm with First Nations communities, because that's not how many people experience it. So if you just talk about harm and risk, you might find that a lot of First Nations people go, I don't know what you're talking about. So we've really got to try and talk about harm associated with risk, but also acknowledging the positives that people experience on a social level from their gambling activity.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.